Our question, what did you crash into or what crashed into you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Well, you want a long story or short story?
All short.
Short story is, had a 2001 cheap-ass Chevy car, and every 6 months I got into accidents. Each side of a car got hit every 6 months.
Was this your fault or other drivers?
Both.
Okay.
June, I got rear-ended by a box truck, pushed me in traffic. January, I got a young chick hit me in the front side. Next December, I did that. I hit their right side mirror, leave my parking garage. December, I got hit by a deer.
You got hit by a deer, or you hit a deer?
The deer hit me.
Okay.
All right.
And then June, a friend at the time, he stole my car, and he towed the car, drinking and driving.
Oh, man.
Wait, he stole it?
Well, he took my keys without me knowing about it.
Well, yeah, that'd be stealing.
Yes,
I think by most people's friend or not.
Right.
Jesus
man,
Christ.
I'll tell you what. I've told this story before, but as far as hitting an animal goes, I was driving back from, I was driving late at night in rural western Maryland. A lot of mountains up there, a lot of wildlife, not a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's basically what you get. So I got off the air at midnight. I was working nights, but I was going to drive back home, spend the weekend with my family. The main reason was I was going to go back because I had just moved there to Maryland, but I knew the only weed dealer I had was in back in my hometown. So I'm out of weed. I'll go back. I'll see the family, do all that stuff, pick up my weed, drive back. So it is 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I see what looks like a complete just a bloodbath on the interstate. Keep in mind, I am one of the few cars on the road. I've got my highs on most of this ride. And I see this trail of blood slowly moving to the right all the way down the road. And there's an 18-wheeler. He's pulled off the side of the road with his hazard lights on. So I don't know what I don't know what's going on. So I'm like, you know what? There's so much blood on the road. I want to see what's going on and see if this guy's okay.
Or if he's a serial killer.
I did not know what had happened. So I pulled behind him, walked to the front of the 18-wheeler, and there is a black bear. I mean, this was one of those 18-wheelers that had like the Chevy Ram truck front grills on it. You know what I'm saying? Like a very elaborate grill system.
Sure.
This bear was in the grill. Now, it's still warm. It's still hot.
Yeah.
You could see the steam coming out of this thing's mouth. And his tongue is enormous. I didn't realize how big those things are. And this guy's standing out there, and he told me, he's like, my rig's screwed. He's like, I can't do anything. So I don't know if it went in the radiator or whatever the deal is. But I just to be able to be that close to a bear, to see the size of their head, to see all of that, I mean, and blood is just pouring out from underneath.
And black bears are the small bears.
But this one is huge. I mean, in my mind. I mean, it's huge. Yeah. And that was, as far as roadkill goes, man, that almost gave me a weird adrenaline rush driving back the rest of the way. Because I'm like, man, I don't want to hit one of those things again.
No, you don't.
But it was bad. And those things stink.
I was going to ask, how bad did it smell?
Pretty bad. And it was mostly just what was coming out of its mouth, as far as the stink goes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it was just like expunging, whatever.
I mean, they don't brush their teeth, so it could be that.
What did you crash into or what crashed into you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Bill. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
Well, I had pulled into a gas station. Get gas. I go in to pay. And a guy comes in and he says, is that your Jeep Cherokee out there? I says, yeah. He says, well, it just rolled down the hill and hit the building.
It hit the what?
The building. It's like a condemned building. And I go out and look at it and I, you know, find out what happened and go inside. And the gear shifter drive part, the quarter was stuck in between the handle and part inside the little slot. And it didn't go all the way into park, but I hit it all the way up, and it just rolled into this building.
How far away was the building?
Oh, probably about 100 feet.
Was the nozzle still in the car, or did it rip out?
Oh, no, I hadn't paid for gas. I went in to go pay.
Okay, gotcha. Well, that's fortunate.
That is fortunate.
Or maybe that thing would have stopped it from rolling. Who knows?
How much damage was there to your car?
I bent the hood and the bumper into the grill a little bit. That's about it.
How about the property?
The property was getting torn down anyway.
All right.
It's a car wash now.
So you just started the process. Okay.
Right. I just hurried it up. Like 10 years before that, though, I pulled into a gas station, my Mustang. And I come back out, and it had rolled down the hill backwards and hit a car across the street.
What is it with you and gas stations and not putting it in park, man?
I didn't put this one in park this time.
Yeah, obviously.
I rolled my buddy's 280 ZX down a grass hill, across four lanes of traffic, didn't hit anything, man. And that was not good. He was out of town, and he did not know I was borrowing his car.
Right.
So that was the problem with that, because, I mean, the undercarriage of that car was like branches and grass and crap. The car was fine.
Right.
There was nothing, but I could have hit a car. When I saw that thing out in the middle of the street, because my neighbors were coming back and they said, hey, Chad's car is out in the middle of the road. I'm like, Chad's not here. You know, he was out of town for the weekend. He was hunting with his buddy, and his buddy drove him back home. So I had access to the car. He probably knew I was going to borrow it. I don't think he knew I was going to take it over a 100-foot embankment, cross four lanes of traffic, and then smack into the curb on the other side of the street.
I will say, the fastest you will see anyone move, they could be 104 years old and normally bedridden. If they realize their car's not in park and they see it moving, I mean, it is a mad dash. It's a fastest I've ever seen my father move, and it did not roll into the street, but our driveway had a small incline. We lived on a fairly busy street. I let the caller before. We had a Pinto with the wood paneling on the side, and he's talking to us in the driveway, and the car's behind him. And my brother and I, we just point. He turns around, and it's starting to pick up speed. I've never seen that man move so fast, jump into the car and stop it. We're like, that was awesome. And he's like, it wasn't.
Well, okay, here's the thing. I was parked in a gravel parking lot where our apartment was.
Yeah.
The hill was 100 feet long, but it was a steep hill, so the grass was probably 2 to 3 feet high.
Sure.
All right?
Which slowed it down, I'm sure.
A little bit. But what it did, though, it laid an undeniable trail that someone had dropped a car because all the grass is smashed down. So when Chad gets back, he comes in. He's like, hey, man. I was like, yeah. He's like, I know you borrowed my car. He's like, did you go on a date or something, man? I was like, no, why? And he's like, well, first of all, my car's washed.
Right, that's the sign.
I was like, oh, no, yeah, it's borrowed, man. I took it and washed the car. And he's like, did you take my car over that hill? Because I can see, you know, where I normally park and the track's going down. I'm like, dude, yes. I was like, man, yes. He's like, oh, my God. So he goes out. He's that guy. He jacks up the car, looks underneath, makes sure the oil pan's okay.
Of course.
I'm like, Chad, I'm almost positive. There's no fluids coming out of the car.
Almost positive.
Almost positive, man. But he just didn't, he had a stick shift, and the emergency brake just didn't hold on it.
Oh, God, the other thing that happened yesterday, when the guy hit us, right? Like I said, it's just a fender bender. It was not a big deal. But as we're exchanging information, some fluid was leaking, I mean, like pouring out of the side of the car. And we're just like, man, I wonder what that is. And then it stopped. I said, it doesn't matter. Because now it's
dirty. Yeah.
Whatever it was, it is now empty. And again, it's a rental. So I'm okay with this.
What did you crash into, or what crashed into you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Angela. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hi. Okay, so 2 hours after I got my driver's license, I hit a brick wall.
2 hours?
A brick wall.
Yes.
How did you even pass the driving test if it only took 120 minutes for you to hit a brick wall?
You know what? Okay. You asked, you're going to get the answer. My friend DJ asked for taco time. I went to taco time. I was coming around the corner, and I was driving a 1986 Pontiac Bonneville, okay?
Oh, that's a big car.
And his drink spilled. So logically, as a woman, I think, oh, I don't want my car to get dirty. So I leaned over to get the drink and then just kept turning right into a brick wall.
And did you collapse the wall, or did the wall stop your car?
Oh, no, the wall's still there. It's on 164th Street in Mill Creek.
Okay. What's on the other side of the wall? Is this part of a business?
Yeah, Taco Time.
Time.
Oh, the Taco Time that you went to.
Well, did the Bonneville make it?
Yes, it did. For a while.
Did you report this to anyone? In other words, did your insurance go up, or did you keep this hush-hush?
I was 18, so I have no idea what was my insurance because I, you know, my parents took care of that because I was a spoiled brat. But that's besides the point.
Did you just drive that car to take the test?
No, my grandma gave it to me when she died. I mean, before she died, she told me.
Okay, but as far as the driving test, you said you crashed in a couple hours. Were you just driving back from that test?
I was so excited to get my license. Yes, I had gotten done with my test, and then I went and saw my friend DJ, and I said, look, I got my driver's license. He's like, great, go get me taco time. So I did.
And then you crashed into a brick wall. That's an interesting, that's an interesting conundrum, because I did not have a car, and a guy who was a senior, he had this big-ass boat. He's like, I will drive you to take your test.
Yeah.
And I did parallel park the thing. I cannot remember what he had, but it was the equivalent of, like, a Galaxy 5000. It was just an absolute...
About as big of a car.
It was a Titanic. And I did parallel park, and I was like, yes! But once I got my scooter stolen here in Seattle, I had a 50cc scooter. Now I upgraded. I bought a new one, like a 125 or whatever the hell I bought. But you needed to have a... you need to have a motorcycle endorsement to ride that bike.
So, anything, 50 and over? Is that right?
Yeah. So, basically, when I had the 50, I didn't need the motorcycle endorsement, but when I got the 125, I did. So, the testing facility was, like, over in Woodinville.
Okay.
So, I had to go and take the driving and the written part of the test again. How do I get this bike over there, right? Because, technically, they sent me a memo, like, a note that said, like,
don't ride your vehicle
up there. You bought this bike, and you don't have a motorcycle endorsement. You should probably go do that. They were very polite and cheeky about making sure that I did. But I'm like, how do I get the bike to the facility? So I'm driving it. I just drove it.
Then what are you going to do?
So I could have failed the test. I still got to drive it home. Wouldn't matter. I'm still an illegal driver. I'm still driving dirty.
Right. At that point, it doesn't matter.
If I fail the written test, if I fail the driving, whatever I do, I still got to drive this damn thing back, and I had to take all the back roads. And you know what a pain in the ass that is when you don't know where you're going on the back roads. You are on a scooter, and you know your GPS on your phone, you're kind of holding onto your hand, like, look at it, like, where the hell am I? You know, but it was, but thank God I passed the test. But I was just wondering, how do you, because all the other guys like that had the big Indians and Harleys and stuff, they were going for the test.
They rolled up there on them, right?
No, they rolled up there on a trailer.
Oh, really?
On a flatbed trailer. Huh. Then got the bike off and then took their test. Now, the one dude who had an Indian motorcycle that was probably about 12 feet long, he failed.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when you do the figure eights and stuff, that bike is so big, it's too big to take the tightness of the figure eights and the turns.
Right.
So he almost dropped the bike. Because you're not supposed to put your feet on the ground when you do this.
Yeah.
Right?
That's why we did it on our dual sport dirt bikes.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going to do that test, take a smaller bike.
Smaller and better. It all counts.
Yes, but to that point, think about it. You passed your driver's test with like basically the biggest car they could possibly. But the difference is you nailed it. But I would definitely say it anyway. My son's been talking about it a lot lately. Really wants to learn to drive, blah, 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 blah. And I'm pretty sure he'll be a pretty good driver. But he was looking at the Escalade, and I said, no. Listen, man, it is old. I might give it to you if you pass because it's old and I kind of don't care anymore, but you're not taking the driver's test.
No, you go to Enterprise and you find the smallest
car.
We
are taking
on
the tiniest little thing.
And you rent that damn thing and you drive him there and you have him use that car.
Like I said, we got this little Nissan Rogue now, and it's weird because with the Escalade, when you apply the brakes, you estimate about how much room you need to get very used to it. Same thing, turning radius, the whole nine. You know, you're used to your car. Every time we rent a car, they're so much lighter and tinier. I was getting it cigarettes like last summer or something. And I stopped almost 30 feet before the light because I realized where I normally brake for the Escalade, right? It takes that far to roll before you stop. And the other thing is this thing reacts with the brake because it's light enough. So when you apply the brakes, it just comes to a stop. Not used to that so much.
Mm-hmm.
One time we had an electric car. You forget how they accelerate versus anything that is non-electric. So same thing with the Escalade because the thing is so heavy. I mean, you push it down on the gas, it still takes a hot second for the thing to catch and start moving forward. The electric car, you hit the gas like that. Like, we were doing 90 miles an hour, and this happened in a second and a half.
Jeez.
You know, you almost have to, like, retrain yourself to drive smaller, lighter vehicles with a better turn radius.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, so somebody says you get your permit first, as far as me, then you can ride your bike. You just can't ride a nighter with a passenger. You can ride during the day with a permit. I did not have a permit. I had a valid Washington State driver's license.
Yeah.
So I already had a driver's license. I just needed to get the endorsement to be a motorcycle rider.
Correct.
So I did not get a permit. That's not how they do it. I just had to be there and
so wait, they won't give you a permit. If you already have your driver's license.
I've got a driver's license. This is an endorsement that's added to that license.
But they're still telling you not to take your two wheels up
there. They're not telling me that, but they're saying that I'm already riding dirty.
Right.
So I'm riding it dirty to the place where I'm going to take the test. Yeah. And if I fail, I still have to ride it dirty home. And then I have to ride it dirty back again to take the test again.
Yeah.
And then ride it back home.
Just don't get pulled over, Miles.
Exactly. What did you crash into or what crashed into you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tyson. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hola!
Hey, so back in 2008, we had a bit of a snowstorm around here. And I had, at that point, I think I was 18, 19, but I had earned some trust back from my parents with driving and such. And I had my own car, but with the snowstorm, it wasn't four-wheel drive. And so they were out of town for a week or two. And they were allowing me to take it and a few buddies up to the mountain to go snowboarding. So I pick one buddy up, and then I go pick the other buddy up. And on the way down one of the hills from picking my second buddy up, it's snowing. It's 6 in the morning as we're on the way to the hill. And I can't see anything as far as where the road is because it's all covered in snow. And by the time I see the light at the bottom of the hill, I'm too far. And I hit the brakes, and the car, it's not stopping.
Of course.
And so I turn the wheel sideways and try to make the turn, but no grip. So it just turns sideways and goes straight into the guardrail.
Yeah, that's pretty much how that's going to end.
Did it make the car undrivable?
It was just a pretty brand new, I think 2006 Volkswagen Touring. And whatever happened, the electrics on the car didn't allow you to start it. Because it had been an incident, no airbags deployed or anything like that. But the kicker is just before my parents went out of town, when they let me borrow it, my dad let me know that he was just about to trade it in and get a new car and told me to be extra careful with it. And I just felt like a piece of garbage.
Have you ever been in a car where an airbag deployed?
You know, I actually haven't.
I have not either.
Yeah, me neither.
I had a buddy, and he said it hurt like hell in his car.
That is what I've heard. That sounds like getting punched
in the face.
Yeah. It saves your...
It wasn't like his impact was not that big to settle off, but it settled off. And I mean, he's like, man, have you ever been hit in the face with an airbag? And I'm like, no. He's like, it sucks.
Yeah, that's...
And I was like, he broke his glasses, kind of put a mark on the side of his nose and his face and crap like that. I'm like, all right. Yeah,
good to know.
You're the only person I know that's been hit in the face with an airbag.
And apparently the gas that fills that is just noxious, too.
Well, sure. I can't remember. I want to say when they first started experimenting with it, I don't know if it was the gas or the materials of the airbag, but they would show these crash test dummies. My father, big car guy. And they'd show it in slow-mo, and, like, the bags would break. And, again, I don't remember if it's the material or the gas, but, like, it would blow the torso of the crash test dummy off.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're like, look, this is not safety at this point. This would actually kill the person driving. So they finally figured it out, but I don't remember what the gas is they use in there. But it has to expand...
Instantly.
Anything slower than that, it doesn't matter.
My cousin got into an accident with my dad in the car. He was driving his truck. He was coming around an embankment, Dale. You know, just didn't stop fast enough. He ended up rear-ending somebody, and both the airbags deployed. The gas was so bad in there, neither of them could breathe. My dad stepped out of the truck as it was still moving down the roadway.
Jesus Christ.
It was that bad.
What did you crash into, or what crashed into you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Joshua. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores. So, I was on my way to work. I was working at a lumber mill. I was about 18. I had a 78 Toyota Celica, lemon yellow. I headed out of town, get out into the county, and I come up on a semi-truck that's trying to make a right-hand turn, and I go out and around him. I'm doing about 55 miles an hour, and I come back into I go into the left lane, and I come back into the right lane, and I hit a patch of black ice. This sends my car perpendicular to the road. My front is pointed towards this berm of dirt and rocks that's frozen solid. I hit the berm, and I immediately spin completely 180, and now I'm facing the opposite side of opposite way on the road, still sliding. I notice a black shadow of a telephone pole coming up real close. And I'm like, oh, God, please don't let me hit that telephone pole. As soon as that thought goes through my head, all of a sudden my car does a barrel roll, a complete 360 from wheels all the way back onto its wheels.
Wow.
And stops.
That makes me think the God's like, all right, you don't want the telephone pole? Let's barrel roll your ass.
And it landed on its four tires again.
And it landed on its back on its four tires again, yes. And I get out of the car and I'm walking around. I'm like, what did I hit? And my back bumper is literally 12 inches from this telephone pole. And I'm sitting on a entrance to a field. Like, there's a culvert, like big steel culvert, and the road, you know, so that water can go underneath the road.
Yeah.
My passenger's rear tire hit that culvert, and that's what sent me completely back over from my wheels onto my wheels again.
Was the car drivable?
And the car was not drivable.
Okay.
The engine was still running, but the passenger tire had completely folded underneath the car.
Okay.
It broke the axle and it just snapped the car or the tire right up underneath the car.
That was a pretty cool car too.
It was, man. I don't know about the yellow, but otherwise, yeah, I liked it.
What did you crash into or what crashed into you? 206-803-ROCK.
From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Karen Daly's teammates from the Daily Mix Morning Show joining us momentarily. We'll sit and spin. We've got 10 bands that got better or worse after losing a member. And that's coming up at 4:30. This one is amazing that no one was injured. A United Airlines jet carrying 221 passengers from Venice, Italy, struck a light pole on the Jersey Turnpike on Sunday afternoon as it was coming in for a landing in Newark. Airlines said none of the passengers or 10 crew members aboard the United flight were injured. The New Jersey State Police said the landing tire and the underside of the plane hit a truck, then a light pole, then struck a Jeep that was on the highway. Now, the driver of the truck was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. He was released. The FAA says the 767 landed safely after it came in contact with a light pole and a box truck, and then somehow managed to land. The runway begins a stone's throw, they say, from the edge of the highway. Officials with the Port Authority confirmed that an object was struck. Yes, it was a Jeep, and yes, it was a box truck, and yes, it was a pole.
Yeah.
At the time, minor damage to the aircraft was observed. Airport staff inspected the runway for debris, and normal operations quickly resumed. But either way, the fact that the truck driver was not killed, the guy in the Jeep was not killed,
that
the plane didn't crash, all of those things is just an absolute miracle based on the fact that that thing was coming in pretty low.
Oh, yeah.
Our question, what did you crash into or what crashed into you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Butch. Welcome to the men's room.
Yeah, hola.
Hola.
Once again, men's room colors, here are the seven words you can't Down say on the radio.
Goodness, Butch.
Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now, back to the program.
You trust it?
No.
No.
Kind of like the same way you effing forgot not to swear.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, Mike goes to this with everybody. And also, you know, it's radio. We just can't. But how do I effing forget? Because I don't care. You know, like, see, I drink all the time anyway.
Correct.
And then I wanted to go to the bar tonight. And then now that I'm reminded of this, it tells me the bar is probably going to be more crowded. Also, my wife wants to get street tacos tonight. And this street taco joint near us, fantastic. She said, it's going to be packed. I'm like, why would it be packed on a Tuesday? She said, it's Cinco de Mayo. This conversation happened in a 30-second period, and I forgot that it was Cinco de Mayo within 30 seconds.
Hey, what did you crash into or what crashed into you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
I've never talked to you guys before. This is cool. back in 2018, I had the stereotypical toxic relationship after a divorce.
Okay.
And I don't know if I got the year right. 2018. Anyways, and so I was driving drunk quite a bit, like an idiot. And last thing I remember, I was flooring it. I cranked the metal, and I was flooring it because I was upset my buddy was getting the girls that night, not me. And then I just remember, I think I just blacked out. And I just remember like a flash, and I had hit somebody from behind while doing, I don't know, 60 plus on the freeway. And then next thing I know, I woke up and I'm like, my car is beeping and there's glass everywhere. And this girl's like, hey, are you okay? You're bleeding. And so I had like hit these people from behind, I guess. They had completely spun out. And I had my truck, it was like a little S10 Chevy pickup, had like spun and then rolled. But I was completely passed out. So I literally walked away with like scratches.
And $10,000 in fines and jail
time. Yeah, I was going to say, what's the punishment for that?
Dude, I think I got like the luckiest anyone can get in that situation. The people I hit were not hurt, were not injured. I had super good insurance. So like I never got sued by them. And I didn't make a lot of money at the time. So I have like, I think it was like $1,100 fine. And a 5-year like unsupervised probation, and then all the standard stuff. Like I had to do the I got the minimum everything. I got like
really.
Minimum.
Did you get a night in jail?
I did spend the night in jail that night, and okay. It was like I remember they took me into the station, and this nurse was like doing stuff to me, and I'm like, she's like, so they took you to the hospital, and I'm like, I didn't go to the hospital. She's like, yeah, you did. Look at your arm, and they had like drawn blood at the hospital. I was like, I don't remember that. At all.
Wow. Now, did you manage to sober up in that time or no?
Yeah, actually, after that, I stopped drinking quite as much. And then once I didn't get like charged until 20, like almost a full year later, just because I had refused to blow. And so that like makes it take longer, I think, when they have to go through all the paperwork stuff.
Of course.
Yeah, I got minimum everything. The following fall, like the beginning of 2020 is when I started those treatment classes that I had to take. The minimum, I got the minimum everything, like minimum of 1 year without 1 year with the blow and go. 6 months was the minimum once a week at the treatment facility. And so you had to be sober to go through the treatment. So I ended up sobering up, quit smoking weed and quit drinking. And my buddies were all like, you're going to start partying after you get done. And I was like, I was a few months in at that point, and I was like, man, I don't know, I feel pretty good. So I actually ended up taking like a couple years off of everything.
Good for you. What about now, man? I mean, you do it all in moderation, that kind of thing?
I started dabbling and drinking after a couple years off, and, you know, it was fun for a minute. I definitely had changed it. I wasn't doing shots anymore, and I wasn't really drinking beers. I was just kind of like sipping whiskeys. But I think I just kind of, after a couple hangovers, I just kind of grew out of it or something. I'm just kind of over it. But I'm like what they call California sober. So I still smoke weed but I take a break about once a year just so my lungs can chill out because I'm a singer for profession. So I like kind of need to keep it easy.
What are you singing for?
I don't really have a band, but I'm like a solo acoustic rock, and I do like, I play at bars and restaurants all around the Pacific Northwest and Washington State.
All right. Very cool. Well, good for you, dude. At least you cleaned up your act, because we hear that story a lot, and it's just, and I got right back into the saddle again. Right.
What did you crash into? What crashed into you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Hola. Doing well, man.
My story, I went to the Squim, the animal park up there, and they got the bear and the buffalo and all that. And
is that the Olympic thing? The
Olympic game farm.
Yeah, okay. I've been up there with the kids, yeah.
Yeah, so I had my son with me, and we're driving along. And the buffalo, they'll stand in the road sideways, so you have to come up and stop. And then two or three will come up and stick their heads in the windows and want their stuff.
Yeah.
And so there's two girls come up behind us in a Jeep, and they have the top off. And the doors off. So every time we'd stop, you know, they'd be honking, wanting us to get going because they want the buffaloes to come up to the side. So as soon as they'd start coming up alongside them, you know, we'd move ahead. Well, they were having too much fun. They're laughing and screaming and all this stuff. So we stopped, and they're wanting us to go right away. Well, I waited a while, and here come the buffalo, and they pulled in front of them, and they came in the doors, and they both got out of their seats, and they're both standing on the console with their heads out the top, you know, screaming and laughing and all this stuff. And so once I saw that they were permanently stopped, I drove ahead about 100 foot, and there's a buffalo standing in front of me again. So I stopped, and one of the big ones from that was back at the Jeep, it's trotting up behind me to get up to the door, and they made a bunch of noise, and so the buffalo turned around and is looking at him,
and he's running ahead, and he rear-ended me in his horn right in the middle of my tailgate.
Oh, you got hit by a buffalo. That's a good story.
It's the only dent I have in my truck, and I was going to fix it, but every time I see it, I get a laugh out of it.
Yeah.
I
just have left it. It's kind of a badge of honor, too.
Exactly.
By the way, who honks at that? Right, I mean, the whole thing is, like, you get to the Olympic Fire, and it was great. The kids wanted to go. We take them up there. I mean, you're going, like, 3 miles an hour, right? Mm-hmm. But you understand, based on where you're at, there's probably going to be animals in the road because they're every freaking where, and everyone's feeding them, right? I mean, I just can't imagine, like, man, get out of the way.
What did you crash into? What crashed into you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Yeah, I'm retired Navy, so I'll try to keep my mouth clean. I was going to talk about the time when I was 3 when I crashed into a tree in my dad's car, but I'm going to tell you about the time I crashed into 3 state patrol cars. When I was 13, I stole my dad's car, went and picked up a friend. He brought a 30-30 and a 12-gauge with him. We went 20 miles to go pick up some ammo, and his cousin lived on a dirt road, so I turned down a dirt road, and I noticed a car was following us, and it's 2 in the morning. So I was like, well, pass by, we'll take a left, and we'll come back. Well, when I turned down the next road, there was a cop coming every direction. I just floored it in a 1980 Tornado diesel, so it's a big boat. We got to the first intersection about 3 miles down the road. I tried to take a left, slid right through the front yard of the Brighton State Police Post, and ran into 3 of their parked cars.
Oh! And you have guns in your car.
Yeah.
And you're 13.
My mom ended up being friends with one of the cops that was chasing us. And it was his first day on the job, and he said he was hiding underneath the dashboard when they were chasing us.
Jesus.
So how much trouble do you get in, though, friends or not?
Well, all I remember is the cop came. All I remember is seeing a hand pull me out, and I told him my dad was a butthole. I met Judge Donald E. Rank at 2 in the morning, and I ended up with 2 years probation and $40,000 worth of restitution damage.
Wow. Ooh. That's what stings.
Right, because that falls on your parents. Right. I mean, look, if you're going to get 2 years probation, hopefully you get it at 13.
You're just going to school.
It doesn't matter, right?
What did you crash into? What crashed into you? 206-803-ROCK.
And I'll just say, from a parent's point of view, right, say this happens to my kid. Like, look, man, I don't care about your 2 years probation. To me, it's like getting suspended from school. It means nothing to me. You cost me $40,000. Now we got a freaking problem, bro. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How are you doing, gentlemen?
We're doing well, man. Thank you.
Excellent. So I was about 17 years old. I'm working a pizza job, and I'm not very familiar with the town that I'm driving in. So I'm driving down this street, and it's a thoroughfare the whole way up until this one point, which I didn't realize was a stop sign. So as I approach the intersection, I'm looking up to kind of get my bearings where I'm at, and then I see this car barreling down towards me, and I have this much time to say to myself before I end up colliding with him. I look at him, I'm like, wow, he's going real fast, but he's going to stop soon. Wow, he's going real fast, but he'll stop. Oh, no, he's not stopping. And then I ended up T-boning him. That's how fast he was going. And he was a good, few hundred feet away. And what was really funny is he was a Chinese food delivery driver.
And you're delivering.
You guys just, here's a piece of pizza, man. Give me some general sauce.
I'm sorry, say again?
I said, did you trade food? Here's a piece of pizza, tape, give me some general sauce chicken.
Oh, yeah, that was the idea. No, actually, my first instinct was, oh, no, I wrecked my car. Then I saw him, and I'm like, oh, no, I hurt him, and I'm going to lose my job. So, but yeah, I thought that was kind of an amusing situation.
Did you deliver the pizzas?
No, unfortunately, my car was a write-off.
All right. Yeah.
Was the guy injured or no?
They ended up taking him to the hospital, and I ended up going to the same hospital that he was at, and I didn't manage to see him, and I got to apologize to him. So that was a good thing.
Yeah.
But,
as long as everybody's cool about it.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody was okay. So that's a good thing.
By the way, somebody here on YouTube says, did the advocates pay for the question of the day? No, because the advocates would say, hey, are you going to get in an accident? Let us know. This is past tense.
Do you know the sound, do you see the sound that that made when he hit that guy's car?
What?
Kung pow.
Miles.
That's so stupid.
God, got it.
Seriously, that's the sound of me. Kung Pao.
Kung Pao.
What did you crash into? You like the Kung Pao chicken? That's one of my favorites. Got the peanuts in it?
Is that the peanuts one?
Yeah, it's great.
I don't think I've ever ordered the Kung Pao.
What did you crash into? What crashed into you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
Hey, so I crashed into a guardrail, a cement guardrail. I was 18, and I had a long night of partying, and it was about 4 in the morning, and it was going towards Bellevue, long turn going to past Factoria.
All right.
And I heard a loud thunk on my passenger side, and that caused me to pull my car to the right, and then all of a sudden, you know, my reaction was to pull to the left, and I pulled too hard, and I ended up smashing into a cement guardrail, and I smashed the guardrail, did a complete 180, facing the opposite way of the freeway. And I seen a semi coming my way, and my reaction was to
poop yourself.
Hit the hazards, and I hit the hazards, and he just skimmed right past me, and it was the scariest thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah, bro.
I couldn't open the doors. I tried getting out from my driver's side. My passenger door wasn't opening. Luckily, I had a sunroof open at the time, and I climbed up the sunroof, got out of the side of the freeway, and as soon as I got on the side of the freeway, state trooper came, and he immediately thought I was drunk. And
was he right?
So I was sober. I did party, but I stayed at a friend's house, sobered up, came home, and I was on my way home, you know, unfortunately, that mechanical issue happened, and he tried to do the sobriety test on me. I told him, like, hey, man, like, my chest is hurting. I hit my chest on my steering wheel. The airbag didn't deploy, and I couldn't breathe. He tried to do a breathalyzer on me, and he was trying to force me to breathe, and I just couldn't, man, and he was just forcing it on me. And so what we did was we did the, you know how you like walk in a straight line?
Yeah.
I was able to do that. She also wanted me to do the ABC backwards. And I some miracle, I managed to do that as well. And so ambulance picked me up, and I ended up finding out that I had a fractured sternum and collapsed lung.
Jeez,
man. Well, you weren't lying.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't breathe. I'm just curious. Can you do the alphabet backwards right now? I'm dead sober.
It's Z-Y-X-W-V.
No, U. See, already.
Z-Y-X-W-V-U-T-S-R-Q-P-O-N-M-L.
L. K.
J.
J. I. H. G. F. E D C B A.
You passed. You're not drunk.
But wait, would that be passable if I say it like that?
I think it would be, because you're thinking your way through it.
Yeah.
I just, like, honestly, God, cops, well, I'm telling you right now, you need to give me a different test to find out if I'm drunk. Mm-hmm. One, you could just ask me, because I'll tell you, but, like, I can't do the alphabet.
About multiplication, something like that. Can I do my table?
You know? You remember we brought them in there. Like, it doesn't actually have to do with whether or not you can do it. They're looking at completely different things than what they're testing.
What did they say they were looking at?
They were looking at your eyes. They're looking at your mannerisms, your speech patterns. And, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was stoned.
Yes, you were.
And you weren't hiding it.
I was high. I was real high. All right, let's see here. Turn Daily and Steve Makes from Daily Makes Morning Show coming up. We're going to sit and spin 10 bands that got better or worse after losing a member. And we get your emails coming up next to the men's room at KISW.com.